to the 13th Warehouse. I'm Kim.
And I'm Vicky.
And this is Doug with the episode credits. Season 3, Episode 12, Stand. Guest cast, Anthony Michael Hall as Walter Sykes, Sasha Royce as Marcus Diamond, and Jamie Murray as H.G. Wells. Created by Brent Mote and Jane Espenson. Written by Andrew Kreisberg and Drew Z. Greenberg. Executive Story Editor, Derek A. Hughes. Directed by Steven Sergic. Original air date, October 3rd, 2011. And now the episode quick cap. The warehouse is still reeling over the death of Steve. Sykes has H.G. Wells. He needs her to open a lock. We go back once again to Warehouse 12 to see H.G. being introduced to the warehouse by Kataranga. He designed the lock on the Sanctum. Pete and Micah head to Hong Kong after discovering a message left by Steve, and Jane recognizes this as the lost ancient Regent Sanctum's location. They find the Sanctum, but are captured by Walter. While H.G. is saving Micah's life by changing the rules of chess to open the lock, Marcus is aiming Black Barty's cannon at the warehouse from the bed and breakfast. He fires. Jane's shackle kicks in and forms a barrier around the warehouse, but also opens the emergency exit portal, allowing Sykes access to the warehouse with Pete in tow, but leaving Micah and H.G. behind. Once Sykes has the bracelet, he orders Marcus to kill Lena. Mrs. Frederick intervenes at the B&B, while Micah and H.G. manage to get through to the warehouse to stop Pete from shooting his mother. Claudia kills Marcus with Johann Meisel's metronome, the artifact that Sykes had used to keep Marcus alive. Sykes escapes and follows Jane back through the portal. Pete, no longer under Sykes' control, shuts the portal down, and the shackle is transferred to Sykes when Jane grabs his hand. Sykes is trapped in the portal and assumed dead, but he left an artifact nuclear device behind. The barrier stays up and is now saving the world from the explosion, leaving Artie, Micah, HG, and Pete trapped. HG is able to create a barrier around Micah, Pete, and Artie. The warehouse explodes, taking HG with it. With the warehouse gone, Mrs. Frederick shrivels up and dies at the B&B.
The Regents are going to send someone to get for Steve. Pete?
How could this happen?
So we're back with Season 3, Episode 12, Stand. And because this episode is kind of a continuation of last week's episode, there is really no artifact of the week. We'll describe specific artifacts when and if they're discussed in this episode. We started with my notes last week, so this week we'll start with Kim.
I really did like this episode.
I did too, yeah.
And one reason why I do like it, because like my reference to Indiana Jones, and they kind of do reference Indiana Jones in this one.
How very Indiana Jones.
So it was kind of like solving the puzzles and actually not killing yourself.
Right, true.
Like we said, everybody who works for Walter dies.
Right.
And unfortunately, the young kid, Tyler, yeah, he dies.
I thought when Artie said they only bought 3 tickets, so somebody didn't go. I assumed that Tyler was already dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was dead. I don't know what I thought. Honestly, I don't know why Tyler wasn't even in my thought. I almost forgot about him to a certain point, till I see them sitting in the chair.
Well, the only reason I thought it was him, because Syke seems to kill people when he's done with them.
Right.
And Tyler found what he needed to find, so I assumed when Artie said he only bought 3 tickets, passengers or whatever he said, I assumed Tyler was the one who was dead.
Oh, well, usually we see how they die, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about him. I must have had a senior moment in that case. And then we learned that it was Marcus that was not on their flight. You know, he's with Lena, and he's there for a purpose. I'm going to go back and forth with this one.
Go ahead.
It was nice knowing Marcus's part in it. He was a Baltimore City detective. He still got the bullets in his heart. Marcus was alive because of an artifact, which we kind of figured out anyway.
Right. Johann Meisel's metronome. It's capable of resurrection when the metronome is activated, and reversed when the beat is stopped.
Right. But Mrs. Frederick, he has the metal.
Right. Shiro Ishili's metal. The artifact has the power to simulate drowning when placed on bare flesh and held in place by the holder, who must be wearing protective gloves. When removed from skin, the victim feels like they have been pulled up from a drowning attempt. So this is the same thing that she used on Sally Stokowski.
But she says it causes an eternity of pain.
Yeah, she did say that.
This is Marcus Diamond, former Baltimore City detective, shot in the line of duty.
3 times. Dead center.
And you lived? Bullets are still in his heart.
If you know that much about me, you know that metal won't kill me.
Yes, but it will cause you unending pain.
You have no idea what's about to happen.
Oh, but I do.
I was expecting, when they were watching the surveillance tapes of the bed and breakfast,
mm-hmm.
and Claudia disappeared, so I was expecting Claudia to show up at the B&B. But Mrs. Frederick shows up first.
Put that syringe down, Mr. Diamond.
I'm impressed.
Imagine my delight. Drop it, please.
That's the thing about this character, and that's the thing I like about this character, because she mm-hmm. just pops in and out so much that you forget about her sometimes.
Right, yeah.
And when she showed up there, I was totally shocked. Like, oh yeah, we forgot. She wasn't mm-hmm. stuck in the warehouse with the rest of them, that she could show up.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that about this character.
And the other thing, too, was Artie did not know about the plant.
Right, because he was mad.
Yes.
It doesn't get easier, does it? To lose a fellow agent.
I've lost fellow agents. Partners. Friends. Steve. It was my responsibility. You might have told me that he was undercover.
Are you angry?
Does it matter? There's always a cost.
And I was kind of surprised by that, because, like I said, I was on the fence. I couldn't figure out whether he knew or not. Then after last week, I kind of thought maybe he did. So I was surprised to find out he didn't.
Mm-hmm. So, because Claudia's mad.
Oh, yeah.
She's kind of mad at everybody about Steve losing his life. And she's like, he had a name. His name is Steve.
Agent Jinx was a good man. And what happened was a tragedy.
And
what?
And I'm really sorry I sent him to his death.
You're upset. This is not the time to discuss whether Agent Jinx...
Steve! His name was Steve! I see you and the Regents for what you really are. Cowards. Steve was worth 1,000 of you.
Claudia really goes off on Jane, and she blames her, even though Jane says that Steve volunteered.
Right.
And Claudia thinks that this is more about Jane's guilt, which I kind of believe a little bit, which leads me to questions that probably can't be answered, but I'm going to ask them anyway. Okay, so my first question is, did Jane always suspect that they didn't get to Walter in time when he was young? Because she did see his eyes change when she first spoke to him in the front yard. So if by some chance they'd been able to determine that they hadn't gotten to him in time at the time when they first took the bracelet from him, what would they have done? Would they just keep watch on him for his life? Or would they take him and do what? Bronze him? What choices would they have when dealing with a child?
I don't think they had much of a choice. I think they would have took him and bronzed him.
Yeah. And I know it's to protect everybody, but it feels wrong. You know what I mean?
Right. It does feel wrong. I don't know if I could bronze a child, but if I knew what the child was capable of doing, then I would have bronzed him. But maybe at one point you're thinking that he got a touch of it, but that's it. But it festered over years and years. The more he festered over it, the harder his heart got.
Yes. But, even the look on her face when Claudia says this is to alleviate your guilt. And you know what? Sykes says that to her as well. Because she said something about she could help him. And he said that will just eliminate your guilt.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Steve died alone. Cut off from everybody who had his back. And for what? Why?
Agent Jinx did not want to put any of you at risk. He volunteered
to take down Walter Sykes for the good of the world. But let's face it, Jane, this was never about the good of the world, was it? This was about your guilt. You made Walter Sykes.
No, Claudia. I tried to prevent Walter Sykes from being made. If we'd gotten to the artifact in
time... But you didn't, and he became a psychopathic killer. And now all you care about is fixing your mistake, no matter who gets hurt or killed along the way.
That's not true. It's just not... You've killed a lot of people, Walter, but I take responsibility for that.
Oh, that's big of you, Jane.
It's not too late. We can still try to save you.
Mom, please.
I don't think you're going to hurt me. I think you understand what I'm saying. I think you know there's been enough damage done. I think you're ready to stop this.
But Jane, then you'd have solace. I want you to feel the guilt and the pain. Like I have.
So I think she did feel guilty, and I think she did have an inkling that they were too late.
Right. But I did like it that Steve still left the clue because he had a lighter.
Right.
And the state that Claudia did know him. He said, yeah, he doesn't smoke because his father was a chain smoker.
Found this stuff on him. Yeah, I didn't even know the guy smoked.
He didn't. His father was a chain smoker. Steve hated smoking. That's my boy.
is that?
Steve doing his job.
He was pretty smart to leave a lighter because he knew Claudia would know.
Mm-hmm.
There was no reason he would have one.
Right. So Claudia figured it out, and there's a video on it of him. And he's telling them a little bit of what he's up to, but he doesn't know in detail what he's up to. All he knows, he's going to Hong Kong.
So my questions, and they're probably not questions, but they're just things I thought about with Steve's message. So did Steve make the message just in case, or did he make the message because when Sykes told him he'd get him his job back, did he know he was lying, therefore knew he was probably going to die? Or did Sykes originally intend on letting Steve go, so Steve didn't pick up on the fact that it was a lie because it wasn't at the time, and then changed his mind later? Or did he kill Steve because he always intended to, or did he find out that Steve was really undercover? And if he did always intend on killing Steve, why would he lie to him about getting his job back if he knew Steve can detect it?
Okay, I'm going with the first one.
The first one, that Steve always knew that he was going to die?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too.
Because he was trying to save them.
Yes, he got a little choked up when he said, if you're watching this, you know I'm screwed.
Right.
Yeah.
And he added Claudia's name in it. And Claudia keeps on saying it was all for nothing.
Yes.
It was not all for nothing.
Right, that's what Jane says. But, you know, at the time when the only information they had was Hong Kong and that Sykes has a box that Marcus is afraid of, that didn't mean anything to them.
Right, but what was the box that Marcus was afraid of?
That was the metronome.
Oh.
Because Marcus knew all Sykes had to do was stop it to kill him. And I wrote that in my notes since we're on that subject too, because when he got to Lena's, I was surprised that he had the metronome, because I knew that was probably what Steve was talking about, the box that Marcus was afraid of. And so I was surprised that Marcus had it. I guess, that Sykes promised him the metronome if he completed this mission. So that's why he was carrying it around.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it.
Oh, okay, but Claudia got her hands out.
Right, because they left it on the table at Lena's house.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because you could hear it ticking, even though it wasn't open. That whole time, you could hear ticking. Yeah.
I watched this twice. But anyways, in Hong Kong, it's the ancient Regent Station. It was used as a meeting place. But isn't that still Warehouse 7?
It was created at the time of Warehouse 7.
Okay, and there was the Rows of Eyes of Horus.
Right.
Warehouse 7 was connected to.
The roads in...
Roads, I remember. There's something...
You see that? The roads kind of... You see that? They connect, and it almost forms...
Yes, I see that.
You two know you haven't actually finished a sentence yet, right?
Well, the same symbol that means aperture can also mean eye.
As in the Eye of Horus. Now look, this is Hong Kong circa 1600. These roads, the roads today, are all based on these roads. And take a look at this.
The roads form an Eye of Horus.
You know, I like when they get to Hong Kong, and I love Pete in this moment because he said they're in a Chinese restaurant or Japanese restaurant, and he says, Mike, I got a vibe. No, because I'm not hungry. You know, that was too hilarious because, you know, it's true. Pete's always hungry.
Right.
They're in the restaurant, and he keeps on saying, I got a vibe. And, you know, Micah kicks in with her little spider senses and, you know, does a puzzle in her head like, wait a minute, this is the point. And this restaurant, you know, the age and everything else is built on top. Because basically the whole world is built on top of something. And, you know, they sneak in and go downstairs and they see the writing on the wall and the eye. And two, and Indiana Jones, just put your finger over it and push the button. So she pushes the eyeball, and the door opens because they notice a little thing moving on the daggone floor. Now, they go through the tunnel. I'm kind of upset because it's like modern, like they updated it. So there's no cobwebs or spiders falling down or snake dropping from the ceiling. They just go through a tunnel that's lit. But I'm kind of upset at that. Because when you get into the room where Wells and Walter are and Tyler, you know, there's a chess game. This was Wells's mentor of Warehouse 12. His name was Kataringa?
Yes.
Okay. He loved puzzles. And at one point, Wells has to help Tyler get through this chess game. And, of course, loses and he dies.
Right.
Tyler's gone because he lost the game. So then Walter has Micah in the chair, and Wells is walking Micah through the game, and two moves already she lost. And then she remembers, I like when she said, guns have no place in a something society.
Probably civilized.
Yeah, civilized society, which is true. I feel the same way. We shouldn't have guns in a society. So he got the Tesla and guns the other region. That's too funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's like, oh, it's only 32 and I was dying. But anyways, he says, well, then change the game. You could change it. Change the game. So as it comes back to her, she's like, okay, change the game.
Guns have no place in a civilized society, sir.
Now, the regions set the rules, and their rule states all warehouse agents must carry a firearm.
But there is always an alternative to killing.
I agree.
That is not standard issue.
I change the rules. When the rules do not agree with one, it is sometimes necessary to change them.
She changes the game, and of course she wins.
She needed Micah to calm her down.
Right,
to think about it, yeah.
Because Micah said, I ain't dying here. And I'm like, cracking up, because you know basically when you can tell there's real tears. Because underneath her nose and her upper lip is red. Like, you really crying there, girl.
So Katarenga's chest lock is a lock to the Sanctum's portal designed by Helena's mentor. It consists of a chessboard and a chair placed below an axe. The lock is activated when the victim locks themselves in the chair, where the pieces on the board automatically move themselves into check. The idea is to take the board's king within three moves before checkmate occurs, which, if it does, causes the axe to fall and crack the victim's skull. The lock, however, is impossible to open by playing normally. One must change the rules in order to win. And we saw that pile of bodies with cracked skulls.
Mm-hmm.
When they first got there.
Yeah, so it does open, and Walter's able to go through to Warehouse 13. But he goes from the inside instead of outside because Jane's, okay, name the bracelet again.
The shackle, I can't remember the name of it.
Yes, it protects the warehouse. They see that Marcus is throwing a cannon, so I'm going to let you go ahead with the cannon.
Black Barty's cannon. Artillery fired from the cannon causes a powerful impact amplified by augmented firepower.
So they know it's coming. They know what it's used for, what it does. It protects the warehouse from the outside. But Walter's coming from the inside. Mm-hmm. So Walter and Pete, you know, they walk through the wall. He's using the rod to control Pete. And, you know, Pete shuts it off. So anyways, he's in. And he gets the bracelet that helps him walk. And at one point, he wants Pete to kill his mother, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of stuff going on. Walter tries to get back into the station because Jane is over there. Because he really wants to make Jane go through this pain that he went through as a child.
Yeah.
So Jane goes through the wall. And just as Walter's going through, Pete turns it off. Walter's dead. And even Jane at one point tries to save and take my hand. It's gone. He's incinerated. And Pete, he hugs Wells because she's working where I said before, she has that compassion now.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's been saying, she's going to work with them to make sure everything's okay.
Right.
And she does. So now that she can, hey, the warehouse is safe. Nah, it's not.
Right. Because that wasn't his only goal, to get the bracelet. Yeah.
Right. It was to destroy the whole warehouse.
Right.
Because they keep on hearing this ticking, and all of a sudden, they find the bomb underneath the seat in this wheelchair. What is the bomb of?
The bomb is made out of a piece of masonry from the House of Commons. Having absorbed the concussive force of the entire German Luftwaffe Air Force during the Blitzkrieg, the piece is capable of discharging an artifact augmented explosion.
It's a nuclear device.
Right.
They can't turn it off. They try to put it in the goo. It doesn't work. And, you know, while they're trying to figure it out, Wells, he goes to the panel board and figures out a way to at least protect them from the blast because she knows what's going to happen. But we're down to seconds now, down to seconds. And it was one of those scenes, and I like the music that they play through it, because Wells puts a barrier around Pete, Micah, and Artie to keep them safe from the blast. So in that moment where she protects them underneath the dome, you know, even Pete's going, I finally liked you. I just started liking you.
Yeah.
And they're not trying to make these pleas to save her where she knows she has to give up her life.
Right.
And her and Micah had this moment where Micah says nothing, and really she says nothing, and then you had this music coming in. The music was great.
Yeah.
For this moment. Because that was that melancholy, you know, stuff was going in slow motion, and the next thing you know, the bomb goes off and it's a blast.
Miss Wells, what do you smell?
Apples?
Yes, you do. Most people do not smell the apples. The warehouse likes you.
Buildings do not have personal affinities, sir.
This is not, as you will discover, just a building, Miss Wells. Welcome to Warehouse 12.
You've protected us from the blast.
You should be safe now.
But you're out there.
They had to be initiated from outside the barrier.
No, listen.
You gotta let us help you.
There's a way we
just
can do this.
Avoid
it doesn't have to be this way. There's another way
for
us
away.
To
I just started
give us a chance
you,
to do it.
Stop now.
I just
have to fight. I smell apples.
All right, so in the meantime, while HG is saving them, you know, with the dome, the blast rips through. And like I said, with the music is perfect.
It is, yeah.
As the blast is going through, they're just looking at the warehouse be destroyed. So in this rain going on, the end starts to shake. But I forgot the other detail with the Metrodome Claudia has. There's key elements in this part. That and the pocket watch Artie has. Because he had gotten that from McPherson.
James McPherson's pocket watch. And all it says for this episode is its effects are revealed in an upcoming episode, A New Hope. And I think that's the first episode of the fourth season. So I didn't go to A New Hope's page to look to see what it said because we haven't seen it yet. And that would be a spoiler. Mrs. Frederick tells him that the warehouse has always endured. And for some reason, that makes him think of the watch that McPherson left him.
Mm-hmm.
Although we don't know what the watch does yet. But he does go back into McPherson's room to get it.
Didn't we see this watch before?
We did, when he's reading the letter. That was a flashback, when he's reading the letter from McPherson.
Right.
The note that McPherson left him said, "We always argued about this, so you keep it. You're going to need it."
Right.
"Remember this watch? We used to argue over it. I think you should have it. Good luck, old friend. I imagine you're going to need it."
I thought he always had it with him, but apparently not. He must have left it in the room.
Well, I'm thinking for safekeeping.
Yeah, maybe.
Now, why the blast is going on and we're at the end, Mrs. Frederick wants her to give that back to her. And Claudia's like, "Nah, I don't think so."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Claudia's like, at this point, she's going,
right.
The rules change now. So we're talking about the rules changing. Claudia changes the rules.
She's tired of irrelevant rules, just rules that she doesn't find have any reason for.
So, and it's true, as time goes on, rules need to change for the time.
Right.
For the time that we are in, rules need to change as we progress.
Right.
So the rules change. So Claudia's like, "I'm changing the rules." Well, she's like, "Nah, I'm not giving it back."
"Claudia, you're going to have to give me back that metronome, please. Now, please."
"No."
"You know we can't use artifacts."
"What I know is I'm tired of arbitrary rules. The metronome is for Steve. I'm bringing him back."
This is kind of annoying to me. Claudia has her eye on the metronome. We already talked about that. And Mrs. Frederick knows it, and she tells her she wants it back. Claudia says, "No, this is for Steve." So they're arguing and arguing when they only have a minute to save them in the warehouse. And they stop searching for a way to save them to argue about the metronome.
"I'm not finding anything yet."
"Keep looking. Something's got to neutralize that bomb. Something."
"Can't find anything in the databases either."
"Okay, so why can't we just go to the warehouse and find a way to break them out, even if we cannot stop the explosion?"
"We can't get through the barrier. Besides, there isn't time."
"Oh, can I maybe hack my way in and deactivate the barrier that way?"
"The power isn't derived from the main system. It's derived from the Ramadi shackle."
And I got really irritated at them for stopping research to argue about the metronome.
Then when the blast hits, it's destroying the warehouse. It also destroys Mrs. Frederick.
Yes.
And Mrs. Frederick dies. and they just watch her just grow the age that she was supposed to be. Once the blast kind of has stopped and the dome comes down, the protective shield comes down, they look around. And they're totally like, wow, he got what he wanted. He wanted to destroy the whole warehouse.
Sure.
And then Artie looks at the pocket watch and it's like, yeah, he has one. Okay, go ahead.
I felt bad at the beginning when Micah was all business and Pete was asking her how she could be like that when Steve was dead. And she says if she didn't stay focused, she would just fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Claudia, listen to me. We need you to hack into that laptop, okay? There could be something there that... Claude, listen to me. We need to find Sykes, right? We need to find him and we need to stop him. Claudia.
Micah.
Yeah.
Steve is dead. How can you just be business as usual?
Because if I don't, I will lose it. So you need to help me.
And then in the car, when Sykes was in the car with HG, I mean, you know he's evil. We know he's evil. But just when he was talking to HG, he was so evil sounding. I don't know what it was. Even more evil than when he was in the chess room and Tyler was going to die. He played that part very well.
Right, but it hardens the heart. So I believe as time goes on and the more and more he's dwelling on it.
Oh, absolutely.
The more evil.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what the bracelet does.
But it was just them sitting in the car and he just seemed more evil than he seemed in all the episodes we saw him for some reason. I don't know what it was. And then there's the part where Mrs. Fredericks tells Lena that she made her a promise a long time ago. But I don't think we ever heard this before. I mean, I have to imagine it's about keeping her safe, but I'd really like to hear that story. And actually, I'd like to hear Lena's story because we don't know anything about her.
Right, yeah.
Like, we have no backstory for her whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I hope at some point we hear it.
Yeah, I hope so too. I forgot about the duck, and I did write that down.
Oh, yeah.
Lena warns the warehouse with the duck, quack, quack. I love that part. You know, my head, I'm going, quack, quack, boom, the alarm goes off.
So I guess we can imagine that Micah and HG played chess again to get back into the warehouse because they really don't show us how they got...
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
How they got there. So pretty much I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
No. Mm-mm.
So we'll be back next week with the Christmas episode, and then we'll be taking 2 weeks off in between seasons. So we'll see you next week with the Christmas episode.
All right, see you next week.
Bye. As always, any artifact description that we read comes directly from Warehouse Wiki. Those descriptions are linked to our webpage. Thank you.
Hey, guys. Bad news is, if you're watching this, then I'm probably screwed. So I'll keep it short. Still nothing on Sykes' endgame. He plays it pretty close to the vest. But I can tell you that he's made travel arrangements to Hong Kong. I don't know why. It's definitely not a pleasure trip. There's one other thing. Sykes is number two. Marcus Diamond, the guy who doesn't die. There's something strange about him. He gets his look when Sykes brings out this wooden box. It's probably an artifact. Artie, you should check it out. Agent Steve Jenks signing off. Good luck, you guys. Claude. Keep the faith.
Okay, DC, tell us what's next.
Join us next time for season 3, episode 13. My greatest gift. Ho, ho, ho!
Hey, this is Doug Gramley reminding you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the13thwarehouse, on Twitter at Eureka Warehouse, on Instagram at Eureka_warehouse, on our website at the13thwarehouse.com, or on Podbean. Theme music for the 13th Warehouse, Reflections in the Mirror, provided by Esther Garcia under their standard license. See you next time in the 13th Warehouse.
And now we're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.